So we're just a couple of weeks into a new series, thinking a little bit about some of the things that the Apostle Paul says when he preaches the gospel, according to the understanding, according to the wisdom that was given to him. And last week I shared an analogy, something that I've cooked up myself, but the analogy was meant to help us consider a couple of issues. The analogy was meant to help us consider both the issue of who we are, but also the issue of what it is that we're connected to, what it is that we're partnered with as we live out our life. I think the Bible itself touches on those issues, both of who we are and who we're connected to, or what we're connected to or partnered with as we live out our life. I think the Bible touches on those kinds of things when it says things like this: as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. You know, that touches on who you are, the person who has received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in him. Or in Galatians 5 there, if we live by the Spirit, if you've been made alive by the Spirit, if you're born again because of the Spirit of God, let us also walk by the Spirit. Something about how we live out our daily life. Receiving Christ, living by the Spirit, being made alive by the Spirit, that touches on the issue of who we are. In the analogy that I presented, that was the old you was represented as a car. But after you receive Christ, after you're born again by the Spirit, after you've been made alive by the Spirit, we let that be represented as a jet. You know, you get changed from a car into a jet. But walking in him, or walking by the Spirit, we represented that type of issue in the analogy as that change from using a road map to tell the car where to go to being connected to a flight plan that guides the jet where it's supposed to go. When you are a car, you should be partnered with a road map because you have to travel down roads. You should be partnered with a road map, you know, to do life, to live life. But when you are a jet, you should be partnered with a flight plan on how you do life and how you live life. If you are a jet, if you're a person who has received Christ or made alive by the Spirit, you have to walk like a jet, talk like a jet, that kind of thing, and not like a car. Trying to drive a jet down a road following a road map, even a good road map, doesn't work, because that's not how jets reach their destination. When you're a jet, you know, you walk, you live life by flying to places according to a flight plan. Hopefully, that analogy makes all of us wonder a little bit. Well, what's the flight plan for that new person in Christ, for that person who's been changed by the Spirit, by receiving Christ from an old car to a jet? What's that flight plan that they can get connected to now as they live out life? And how is the flight plan different than a good road map? Or just to stay with the words of Scripture, how is walking by the Spirit different than other kind of walking? I mean, doesn't everyone basically, you know, just try to do their best for whatever they think is right? I mean, isn't that how everybody walks? Everybody just basically just tries to do their best to do the things that they are convinced is right. That's what everybody does. So the main issues become simply to convince people what the right map is, which map is right. First, you convince them which is the right map to follow. And then you encourage them to work really hard at following the map. What else can you possibly do? So you want to convince people what's the right view, what's the biblical view of marriage, you know, or what's the biblical view of honesty? What perspective should you have on issues like marriage or honesty in business or helping the poor, serving the poor? So first you want to convince people of the right perspective, the biblical perspective, and then you encourage them to do the right thing. Those different arenas and those different relationships. Okay, you become convinced of the right view of marriage, now do that in marriage. You become convinced of the biblical perspective about the poor. Now go out and do that. Try your best to do those things. What other way is there? I just have to tell you what the right map is that shows the way people ought to live. And then everybody has to try their best to do that. What else could there be? And I'm suggesting there is a different way. If you're turned into a jet, that giving you the right map doesn't help. You need a flight plan, you know, to direct the jet to the destination. So I hope that makes you wonder, but what's the flight plan anyway? And how does that work? How's it different than a good roadmap? So today we're just going to begin to explore a little bit what a flight plan might be for a jet. What's flying about? What is that about? Being successful at driving a car, following a roadmap to a destination. Okay, if you were a car and you had to follow this map to get to a destination, to be successful in that depends on performance. There are various thou shalt do this, there are various thou shalt not do these things. If you want to reach the destination, you have to perform according to all the thou shalt and all the thou shalt nots. Indeed, the map is going to make you know how good you are as a car at performing. And of course, the reason cars do not reach the destination that the map indicates and shows the route to is the cars don't perform well enough. They start missing some of the thou shalts or start missing some of the thou shalt nots. And so they end up in the ditch because the cars don't perform well enough. They're not good enough. To be successful as a car following a map, it depends on performance. Being successful at flying a plane, following a flight plan to a destination, depends on faith. Flying means that the things that are done by faith. They are done in faith. Hebrews 11, if you know that chapter, is a chapter about people who flew to their destination. And what is common to every one of them is they all got there by faith. You know, you could flip your Bible open to that chapter and you see majority of the verses start with the words by faith. So and so did such and such. They all flew to their destination. They did it by faith. So I want to suggest that if as a jet, as a person who's received Christ, who's been made alive by the Spirit, if you're going to partner with a flight plan, you're going to have to do it by faith. So I want us to think for a few moments. What makes it necessary to do something by faith? What makes that necessary? Yesterday, the things I did, the way I lived, I did not have to have faith in Melissa to do the things I did yesterday. I mean, yesterday I changed oil in Kimmy's car, did some other maintenance on it, ran a few errands. I did some other things, but I did not have to have faith in Melissa to do the things, to live the way that I lived yesterday. But suppose that I did. Suppose whatever I did yesterday, I couldn't have done unless I had had faith in Melissa, unless I had believed in Melissa. What kinds of things would it be that would make it necessary for me? If you're going to live that way, Roger, you have to have faith in Melissa. You have to believe in Melissa. So what kind of living would require that I have faith in Melissa in order to live that way? What kinds of things would there be that if I called up Melissa and asked, is this how I should live? She would answer back to me, well, that depends on whether or not you trust me. If you trust me, if you believe in me, I'll go ahead and live that way. But if you don't believe in me, you can't live that way. What kinds of things would those be? What kinds of things could exist? And I would live that way, do those things, only if I believed in her. Anybody have thoughts? What kind of things would those be? Changing oil in Kenny's car? Do I have to trust in Melissa to do that? So what kinds of things might there be? Unless I trusted in Melissa, can one do those things? Anybody have thoughts?
Things that you yourself can't do by yourself.
Okay, things I can't do by myself. But why does trusting in Melissa help for that? Oh, okay, so something that Melissa is capable of doing that I'm not capable of doing in myself, but I might go down that path if I trust her. Maybe it can get done because she's capable of it even though I'm not. Okay, excellent. Anybody else? What kinds of things? I think probably the general answer to that is I have to have faith in Melissa if how I live depends on Melissa, right? If somehow what I'm doing depends on her, then I have to believe in her in order before I live that way. It depends on what Melissa has promised me. It depends on what Melissa has done for me. It depends on what Melissa might do for me or will do or can do for me. It depends on what Melissa gives to me. When I live a life that depends on Melissa, then I have to believe in her before I will live that way. Well, if yesterday, rather than the change oil thing, I had bought a $6 million house, and I can't afford a $6 million house, but Melissa promised me she would be good for it, then I would say, how I lived yesterday, what I did yesterday, I live that way because I believe in Melissa. I got a $6 million house. But I believe in Melissa. She said she'd be good for it. When the gospel gets presented, there are few features more prominent about it than it must be believed. You know, that the gospel must be received by faith. I know we all know that. Faith, though, believing is so central in the presentation and reception of the gospel, that Christians often are simply called believers. Now, that's who they're called. They're people who believe. They're believers. And the Christian religion is often simply called the faith. The first time the word believe occurs in the Bible is a verse of critical importance. It's used in the New Testament by several authors. It's of critical importance. It's used about Abraham. It's in Genesis chapter 15, where the Lord has just said some things to Abraham. This is the first occurrence in the Bible of this word, that Abraham believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. That's picked up and proven that the gospel is according to faith. But Abraham believed in the Lord, and that's what gets him credited with righteousness. Of huge significance in the New Testament is a verse from Habakkuk, as Habakkuk is struggling with trying to make sense of some things. And the Lord says to Habakkuk that the righteous will live by his faith. That's the thing that the Lord tells him, Habakkuk, I want you to write it down. Inscribe it on tablets. If it tarries, wait for it. This is coming. The righteous will live by faith. That's picked up by multiple New Testament authors. When Paul opens the book of Romans, which is probably the most systematic presentation of the gospel in all of his letters, you know, the opening verses 16 and 17, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it, the gospel, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, and he quotes Habakkuk here, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So the gospel is the power of God to those who believe. And it's revealed from faith to faith that the righteous shall live by faith. Faith sounds like it's fairly important, doesn't it? If nothing else. So believing, having faith, seems to be pretty important, pretty central to receiving the gospel. Faith is central, by the way, to both being a Christian, but also to living as a Christian. Things are said about faith that are very similar to what are said about Christ. As you receive Christ, so live in Him. Things are said about faith that are very similar to what's said about the Spirit. If you live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. To be a Christian, you have to have faith. To be changed from a car to a jet requires faith. You have to believe in Christ by faith. You receive Christ by faith. You're born again from the Spirit by faith. So to be a Christian, you have to have faith. But also, you have to have faith. You have to believe to walk as a Christian. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, a verse out of Hebrews. So faith is important both in becoming a Christian, but also faith is important somehow in living as a Christian and walking as a Christian. In the Scriptures, faith gets associated with some things. Faith is needed when dealing with certain situations and certain types of things. Faith is needed when dealing with promises. If Melissa was making promises to me about what she was going to do, that makes it necessary, if I'm going to respond to those promises, I have to respond, got to believe in her or not believe in her. But faith is connected to promise. If yesterday I lived according to some things that God has promised me, that's living according to faith. Faith is needed when dealing with the invisible. If you live according to what God says exists, though you can't see it, you have to do that by faith. Eternal things are invisible. You can't see them. So if you live according to eternal things, you have to live according to those things by faith. Faith connects us to invisible things. Faith is needed when dealing with what's coming in the future. If I lived yesterday according to what God said is coming in the future, though of course I can't yet see the future, but if I lived according to what God said is coming in the future, but it's not here now, I need to have faith to do that. I do that by faith. Faith is needed when dealing with gifts, things that God gives. If I live according to what God says He will give to me, you need faith to live that way. Faith is needed if how you live depends on the Lord. Just like faith would be needed if how I live depended on Melissa, I would have to believe in her. If what I do depends on her, so faith is needed if how we live depends on the Lord. Depends on what God has said. Do I believe what He said? Do how I live depends on what God has promised? Do I believe He can do it? Do I believe He will do it? Or do I believe think it's an empty promise? No, faith is needed if how I live depends on what God has revealed as eternal and as lasting, things that will abide when other things pass away. If God has revealed that these are eternal things, if I live according to those things, I only do it by faith, if I believe them. Faith is needed if I live a life that depends on what God has said will come in the future. Things not yet here, but it will certainly come. If there's no resurrection in the future, you're a fool to be here. Let's eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. But to live according to what God says is coming in the future takes faith. Faith is needed to live a life that depends on what God gives. What He gives in His Son. What He gives in His grace. What He gives in His Spirit. To live according to those things, you have to do that by faith. Flight plans are different than roadmaps, in that flight plans call for flying. The first instruction in most flight plans is take off. If you're going to fly, you're going to do it by faith. If you're going to take off, if you're going to fly, you're going to live in a way that depends on God coming through for you. It's a famous story about my dad. Somehow when he was 5 years old, he got up on top of a huge hay barn. Nobody saw how he did it. With two little baby ducks under his arms. I mean, this isn't just a little hay barn. This is one, you could set this building inside the hay barn type of hay barn. So suddenly, his uncle was down on the ground. He hears this little dinky voice, "Uncle, uncle." And, you know, it took a while to find him. He turns around, and my dad's standing right up there on the pinnacle of the barn, got two little ducks under his arm. And he's going to teach him to fly. He says, "Watch, Uncle, I'm going to teach him how to fly." I think they had duckling for dinner, but, you know, he just threw him off the thing and thought they would fly. He was expecting of them a capability that they didn't yet have. Now, if you pick up a flight plan, one of the ways it's different than a map is the first instruction is take off. If you're used to following maps, you go, "That's a new one," right? I never heard that as the first instruction. How do you do that? If you are going to do it, if I am going to do it, it can only be done by faith because it depends on God and what he has promised, what he has said, what he has revealed, what he can do can only be done by faith in him. There's a lot to say kind of like about faith. But just for today, I just want to consider briefly just one story. It's part of Abraham's story, who, of course, is the father of all believers. But this story is recalled by Paul in the book of Romans. Here's the story. It says about Abraham that in hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. That's what the Lord had said to him. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, in the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was 90. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. That's out of Romans 4. So Abraham and Sarah are pretty old. They have no children. If you go back and read the passage, you'll find out that one of Abraham's servants is currently his heir to be. God comes to Abraham and tells him that his heir will be one who comes from his own body, not his servant. And he says, your heir will come from your own body, and your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the heavens. That's what God says to him. But Abraham can see. I mean, he's very capable of seeing what the deal is. He can see himself. He can see Sarah. And when he looks at himself, when he looks at Sarah, he can see that both of them are as good as dead as far as having children. He's 100, she's 90. Have you ever heard the phrase, that ship has sailed? He can see that. He can see that he and that Sarah, they're as good as dead with respect to having children. So how can he possibly achieve the destination of numerous descendants, of descendants as numerous as the stars of the heaven? How can he possibly achieve that destination? The answer is he flies there. He believes what God has promised. He believes God is able to accomplish what he promised. And he lives a life that depends on God doing what he had promised. That's what he does. So he flies there. I want to call attention to this part of Abraham's story today just because of the dramatic contrast in the story between what we might see on our side and what God says on his side. And that there can be just significant contrast between those two things. It can be like that when we walk by faith. There can just be huge contrast between what you see on your side and what God says on his side. There can just be considerable difference between what you're naturally capable of, you know, and what God has promised. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is righteous, whatever is holy, whatever is true, let your mind dwell on these things. Go home after the service and channel surf for 10 minutes. And you'll say, I don't think anybody's mind dwells on those things. In fact, I think we dwell on all the antonyms. We dwell on the impure, you know, and the unlovely, and the unrighteous, and the unholy, and the false. So how likely is it that I'm going to have a mind dwelling on the good stuff? I mean, just an ordinary guy living in Southern California in the 21st century with a smartphone and TV and magazines and the internet. How likely is it that I'm going to have my mind dwell on the pure and the holy and the righteous and the lovely? All we need to do is for Jordan to turn that thing off and see our options being offered to us by Apple TV. How many were pure and lovely and holy and righteous? Not very many on the screen, were there? So how likely is it that I'm going to be able to do that? You know, live that way. So I can either waver in unbelief. And when I waver in unbelief, I just consider the natural will be more decisive in spite of what the Lord has said. You know, just an ordinary guy living in Southern California. Just the natural will be more decisive, even though the Lord said that stuff about my mind dwelling on all those things. Or I can grow strong in faith and consider that God is able to do what he's promised to make me a person capable of doing those things. Flying happens by faith. I think it only happens by faith. So for today, this question. Do you believe that your life, the story of your Christian walk, the story that unfolds, the tale that's told by the living of your life, do you believe that that tale will tell of what God has promised you and what God is able to do by his power? Do you believe that? So when your tale is all fully written, all your years are finished, do you believe that the story that your life will tell and how you lived will tell a tale about what God promised and what God is able to do? Or not? How you related to your friends, to your family. Well, how you lived, how you walked, what you did, bear testimony to what God has said, what God has promised, what God has given, what God is able to do. How you functioned in church, service to God and to his people. Will that tell a tale of what God was able to do by giving you his gifts, by filling you with his spirit? How you were when you were alone. There's nobody else around. Maybe all you had was a computer and the internet. So how you were when you were all by yourself. Will that tale just be a tale that reflects what God has said, what God can do, and what God can give? Do you believe that? How you responded when life was hard, when you were afflicted, when you were disappointed, when it was sad. Will that part of your life just bear testimony to, well, this is what the Lord does there. This is what the Lord gives in those situations. This is how the strength that comes from him. When's your time to die? Will the tale told of you come into your final days be a tale that just bears witness to what God has said, to what God can do, to the power that He has. How likely is it, you know, that mine, that yours, can be a story of holiness, can be a story of righteousness, can be a story of obedience, can be a story of love? How likely is that? So how likely is your story to be one righteousness, love, holiness, purity, faithfulness? I'm like, how likely is that? Well, I mean, if you ask me, the likelihood of my story being like that is about as likely as Abraham, when he's 100 and Sarah is 90, to have descendants as numerous as the stars of the heaven. About as likely as that. It happened for Abraham. As unlikely as it sounds. As impossible as it was naturally. Not many things are impossible for those who have faith. That's the scripture, by the way. Actually, it says nothing is impossible. It doesn't leave out anything for the one who believes. So is your story, the tale that unfolds, going to be one that depends on God? If it's going to be that story, it can only happen by faith. It's going to have to be a story where He comes through with the $6 million for the house, with the ability to have a kid when you're 100 years old, when your mind is fixed on purity and holiness and righteousness, to know you're just an ordinary person in the 21st century Southern California. A story of a person who loves, even though naturally, you know, you're a selfish, egotistical person who only wants to look after number one. But by faith, let it depend on God, and a tale can unfold about what He can do. That's what flying is about. That's what a flight plan is about. That's not everything, but I hope that's enough to think about for a week or so. So just that first element of what is a flight plan. It's different than a map. Map depends on performance. Here's the things. Show us what you can do. You know, pretty good. Wow, you made it to Arizona. That's farther than a lot of people. Or you made it to Ohio. Wow, that's great. How many make it to Ohio? You're in the Pharisees when you make it to Ohio. You make it farther than that, you're a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But nobody makes it all the way by their performance. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. It depends on your performance. A flight plan depends on what you believe, because it depends on God, what He is able to do. So I encourage you to be like Abraham. Don't waver in unbelief, but grow strong in faith, being fully assured that what God had promised, what has He said about you? Jordan quoted the prayer from Ephesians, the hope of your calling, that you would, your heart would be enlightened to know what it is. So what has He said about you? What hope has God attached to your calling? Kind of like, is that going to happen? Don't waver in unbelief, but be fully assured that what God had promised is able to perform. And the end of my story will be, you know, a realization of the hope, of the calling to which God called me. And the same for you. Let's pray together. Father, we know of that verse in Your word that reminds us that without faith it's impossible to please You. Father, we think of that long list of people, Father, who gained Your approval. Father, because they walked and they lived, they spoke, they acted, Father, by faith in You. Father, teach us to be people. Father, having received Your Son by faith and been made alive by faith, Father, who walked by faith, whose walk, whose relationships, whose words, whose thoughts, Father, whose hopes, whose dreams, Father, all depend, Father, upon you, what you have said and what you're able to do. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for all of these, that they would not waver in unbelief. And there's such a stark contrast between the natural and what you have said, that we would all grow strong in faith, assured that you are able to do what you promised, Father, in all of our lives and all of our stories. Increase our faith, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.